Todd of the Promised One. We do want to apologize. If you came in the door, which most of you did, you noticed we're in the middle of renovation. And we apologize for that. We're excited about what that's going to mean down the road. But it is a little bit of a problem right now. If you do need a restroom, obviously these are not available. You can go down the hallway. There are several on the left, and those are available for you. If you have a cell phone tonight, we'd encourage you to turn it off. If it should go off during the program, we have ushers with hammers, and they'll be glad to help turn it off for you. So this is much cheaper if you'll just turn it off now. Very good. During the program tonight, we'll be singing O Come All Ye Faithful about midway through. And on the second verse, I'll turn and I'll direct you, and you don't have to stand. You may remain seated. We will have you join us in singing that last stanza, O Come All Ye Faithful. Again, we're delighted to have you with us tonight. And if you do need a nursery, there is a nursery available at the end of the hallway. I don't think that's a problem tonight. We're just glad to have each of you. Folks have worked hard for a long time to present this Christmas cantata, The Promised One. And to me, I love Christmas not because of the gifts and everything, but because we can think about Christ, the coming of Christ, and he came for you, and he came for me. We pray as the choir sings, the drama gives their parts tonight, the Holy Spirit of God would move right in and work in your heart. That's what we're doing this here for tonight. That God would draw every person in this congregation closer to him in whatever way you need to be drawn to him. So let's pray and we'll begin tonight. Lord, we do thank you for each one who's come our way tonight. Lord, we thank you for the many hours that have been invested in this program tonight. And our desire, above all, is for you to be exalted. And Lord, we're asking you to bless our time tonight. Bless the songs, speak to our hearts through them. Bless in the drama, may the message be very clear to every person here. And Lord, we're asking you to send your Spirit to every seat, to every heart, and to minister to people right where they are with the needs that they have today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city.
Josiah! Josiah! Where is that boy?
Here I am, Father.
Where have you been? We have much work to do before our travelers arrive.
I was cleaning the stables as you asked.
And? Are they ready?
Yes, Father. I put fresh straw in the mangers.
Very good. And the rooms. What about the rooms?
Mother and Abigail are finishing the last one.
Very good. Now help me get some of this food ready for our guests. Lately, I'm Claire. You've been eating everything we bring into this house.
Mother says I'm a growing boy. Father, are we going to use all the rooms in the inn?
Yes. I only wish we had more rooms. More rooms mean more people. And most importantly, Josiah, more people mean...
an overcrowded inn?
No. More people mean more money. One day, Josiah, you'll learn to value important things as I do.
Father, why are so many people interested in coming to Bethlehem all of a sudden?
Well, granted, it's not their choice. Caesar has commanded it.
Commanded what, Father?
Caesar Augustus is taking a census of his empire. For tax purposes, most likely. But he also wishes to keep an eye on the descendants of King David. You know, the line of King David registers here.
In the city of David.
Brilliant. Of course, he probably wishes to brag about the number of subjects he rules over as well.
He sounds like a very proud man.
Proud? Well, of course he's proud. Why would he not be? Look, Josiah, whose image is on that coin?
Why, that's the great Caesar himself.
Exactly. Now, give me that coin back. He is a powerful man, worthy of our worship and tribute. We see his power, fame, and wealth everywhere. Son, we can only hope to be like Caesar someday. Do you understand?
I think so.
Well, that's enough talk for now. We must get back to work.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And finished, Father, the stray sheep are returned and safe, and there's wood for the evening fire. Ooh, the sheep are finally settling.
Oh, then we should settle for the night also.
That's good news. The sheep are so stubborn and foolish.
They are. They wander. Just like we do.
What do you mean?
Well, weren't you listening when the prophet Isaiah was read in the synagogue last week? He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We bring our few sheep back to the fold, but God always brings us back. He really is a good shepherd.
God's flock is big and scattered. How does he keep up with each one?
I'm sure he knows them all by name. Look at those stars, son. Our own King David said, "He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names."
That's amazing. It makes me feel small. I'm thankful the God who created all of these knows my name.
Praise the Lord, sing hallelujah. From the heavens, praise his name.
Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Father, why did you turn that couple away? They looked so weary, and the woman's going to have a baby.
Son, we have no more room. It was gracious of me to allow them to use our stable. Is that not true?
Well, I suppose so, but they could have used Abigail's room. I'm sure my sister would give it to them freely.
Giving up your room is one thing, but your sister will keep her room, at least for now.
What do you mean, for now?
Well, son, a situation of great need could arise that would require your sister's room.
But what situation could be greater than a woman who's about to give birth?
Josiah, those people had very little money. Now, this may seem harsh to you, but sometimes in life, you have to make, difficult decisions.
So they were turned away because they had little money?
Because they had little money. That's the only reason I need, Josiah. We must pay for all this some way. You do enjoy having a place to live and food to eat, don't you? Our need is great also.
But could we not just give one room as a free gift?
There's no such thing as a free gift. No man just freely gives of his means. There's always a payment involved.
Well, may I at least take them some bread and water?
No. We only have enough bread and water for our needs and our paying guests' needs.
Well, then they shall have my share.
Do what you want with your share, but don't come complaining to me when you're hungry. Ah, perhaps more travelers. Josiah, wake your sister and prepare her room immediately. We have some needy guests joining us tonight.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Call me love.
worship God face to face while we're still on earth.
I do not understand it completely either, son. But the prophet Isaiah says that a child will be born and that he will not be ordinary. This child will be the Son of God.
You mean God's going to come down and be born as a baby?
That's what he says. His name will be Emmanuel. And God always keeps his word.
Well, when will this happen?
Well, we don't know exactly when, but we do know where.
Where?
Just down there, in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah tells us so.
But our small town is already overcrowded because of this census. When Messiah is born, the whole world will want to come and worship him.
You would think so, son. But not everyone looks for the coming of Emmanuel. You and I will look for him. My father taught me to look for him as his father taught him.
You mean I might actually see God's son in my own village someday?
You might. We would be so joyful to see it happen. But if not, then you must look for the coming of the son, the Messiah, the promised one. Even so, Lord, come quickly.
Father, Father, what's happening?
That light.
What's going on?
I see a figure. Who can it be? Lord, help us.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory, 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 glory.
shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us."
Father, Father, angels, we've seen heavenly messengers.
Yes, God has sent them to tell us of the coming of Emmanuel. He is finally here.
Father, the child, he is here.
Hundreds and hundreds of years we've waited. Thousands of sacrifices we've offered. Now we will see God's Son face to face. It is almost too much to believe.
Father, Father, the child, let us go find the child.
Yes, you're right, the child, come quickly.
Hurry, please.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Scattered from the stable. My guess, they're going to be greatly upset.
Father, the child! It is him!
It is who, son? You're talking nonsense.
It is Emmanuel. He's the Messiah, the promised one. The shepherds told me. They saw and heard them. The angels, I mean.
Shepherds? Angels? What are you talking about?
The shepherds were here at the stable. The Messiah is born in Bethlehem as the prophets foretold. He was born in our stable.
I'm aware of the prophet's words. but not here, and not in a stable. He is to be a ruler far more powerful than Caesar. He won't be born in a simple stable. This is foolishness. Those troublemaking shepherds, they must be gone, and I'll hear no more of this matter.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and sheep are feeding? Would Christian fear for sinners hear the silent word is pleading?
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
My father and my father's father would have rejoiced to see this day. And you and I have seen it, Jonathan. We have worshipped Emmanuel, the promised one.
We must tell all the people, Father. Surely all men will want to come and worship him.
You are right, son. Every man must hear this good news. They will receive it gladly. There are many folks here in the inn. Let's begin over here.
I have no rooms.
Oh, sir, we do not need one.
Oh, what now? Come on in.
Sir, have you heard the news? The Messiah, the promised one, is here. My son and I have seen him.
Father, these two are the shepherds I spoke of.
Oh, yes. The dreaming shepherds who are disturbing all of Bethlehem about their tales of this child in my stable.
Your stable? Then you know. Surely you've seen him too.
I have not. Nor do I plan to.
But, Father!
But, sir!
This baby is a child like any other. Millions are born like him. I will hear no more of this foolishness. You shepherds, go and spread your falsehoods elsewhere. Maybe your sheep will listen to your prophecies. Now off with you, and come, Josiah.
But Father...
Come.
Father, why would that man refuse to consider the good news? How can people be made to understand why he would choose to be born in a stable?
I do not know, son. Certainly, a stable is an unusual place for a king, and God chose it for his own purposes. The angels told us that it was Emmanuel that had come, and we believed them. Though he was born in a stable, one day he will become the greatest king the world has ever known. Though he came with the lowest, he will rise to the highest. Perhaps it's just as simple as there was no room in this man's inn.
I have room for him, Father, in my heart.
Sweet thy throne and thy kingly crown, when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to thy heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart.
She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Told the shepherds. I believe them.
Of course you believe, son. You have the foolish faith of a child.
You'll believe them too if you just talk to the father and mother. They tell of amazing things concerning the child.
Talk to them? I will not. I have more important things to do, and no time for such tales. The world is full of poor babies and poverty-stricken parents. I have no desire to be one of them, so get back to work.
Father! But what of Christ?
You, but that was a blessing to my heart. And sitting there thinking just there at the end, I'm glad I know Jesus as my Savior. God's been good to me. God's been good to you. He really has. You know, I want you to know as pastor of this church that this presentation is not about the music. It's not about the drama team. It's about the Lord. I read a sign today out on visitation that said, He came
so you can go. I like that. I want to ask you a question tonight. My heart's been steeled tonight. Just thinking about Jesus and His preciousness and His goodness. I'm glad He came. I'm glad He was born of the Virgin Mary. I'm glad He lived a perfect life. He told Pilate, He said, "To this end was I born, to bear witness to the truth." And yet He said of Himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm glad that here in America and all the way around the world, our message remains the same. You know what it is? Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's it. I was thinking it right here at the end here about how I'm blessed to be born in America. What you heard in a drama tonight and with through the singing, half the world has never heard it one time. And could it be that somebody's heard it more than once, but they've not rejected, but they've not received it? Could it be in a crowd this size that somebody's come under the sound of this presentation by this choir and this music director and this drama team and those that are working behind the scenes? Could it be that somebody's here tonight, and if you're next for the death angel, you do not know for sure that heaven's your home? I want to invite you to come to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's not this church. It's not your church. It's not baptism. It's not good works. It is Christ and Christ alone. So I ask you tonight, do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die? If you say, "I don't know that, Jody," you know the great thing about Bible salvation? You can know it before you stand to your feet tonight. Because Jesus Christ came and was born of the Virgin Mary and lived that sinless, perfect life and stretched out His arms and His feet, and He bled and died, and He was buried and rose again, and He did all of it so He can say, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been, how young or how old you are, Jesus died for you. Have you said yes to Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you have, you ought to shout glory inside your heart and soul as somebody gave you the story and you received it. But tonight, I'd like to ask you to do this if you wouldn't mind. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just a moment. This is a very personal thing. This is why we have folks bow their heads and close their eyes. It has nothing to do tonight with trying to embarrass you or anything like that. That's one reason we have you close your eyes and bow your head. Because this is nobody else's business. Now, I'm looking. I'm the only one looking. But I'm doing that so I can guide and lead and help and direct. I'd like to ask this question, and all I want to ask you to do tonight is be honest. That's it. Christian, tonight, if you're saved, I hope you're praying and praying for those who may not be saved. How many of you tonight say, "Jody, God is my witness. The Lord looking at me, knowing my heart and understanding all about me. If I die tonight just like I am, I don't hope so, I know so, I'm going to heaven. I'm not trusting myself, I'm not trusting my works, I'm not trusting baptism, I'm not trusting any of those things. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm not trusting my church membership, I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been a time in my life when I've repented of my sin and I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior." If you know without a doubt, no doubt in your mind, that is you, and if something happened to you right now, just like you are, you know without a doubt, 100%, that you're going to heaven. If that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. If you can raise your hand, aren't you glad you can tonight? There's no doubt that there's folks in this auditorium that can't raise your hand to that. And may I say with all the love in my heart, I appreciate your honesty. Thank you for being honest. Bible salvation starts with being honest before God. And I want you to know something. We love you here at Buffalo Ridge, but what I'm talking to you about has nothing to do with you being here, has nothing to do with you ever coming back. I hope you do, but that has nothing to do with you going to heaven. We here want to see you there. We want to see you in heaven. Is there one tonight, say, Jody? Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to your seat. I promise you that. You have my word. But I just need to know how to proceed here. If you're here tonight and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I couldn't raise my hand to that question. And I realize that by raising my hand here in just a moment that I'm not joining a church. I'm not saying I'm going to come back to this place. All I'm saying tonight by raising my hand is that I am not 100% sure. I do not know that for sure. Is there one tonight? Again, please understand. We're not going to embarrass you or come to your seat to call you out. No way. We just want to know how to proceed. If you're here tonight and could not lift your hand saying that you're 100% sure, but there's something in you that says, I wish I could say that. I'd like to be able to raise my hand to that same question the next time somebody asks that question. I do not know, but I want to know. I really do. Is there one like that tonight? Would you be honest? Quietly, quickly, at your seat, would you raise your hand in the air with mine and put it right back down? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, pray for me. I do not know that for sure, but I would like to know that for sure. Anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Put it right back down. Anybody at all? I'm looking. I'm giving just a moment here. You say, pray for me. Pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? And I'd like to ask you this question tonight. If you raised your hand saying you know for sure that heaven's your home, why did God leave you here? Why are you not already there? I want to challenge you tonight that the reason God has left us here who are saved is to share it with those who are not. He wants us to share this story around the world. And my friends, your world starts with right where you're at. Starts with your neighbors. Starts with your coworkers. Starts with your family members. And then it proceeds out further and further and further until we're trying to get the gospel all the way around the world. So I'm going to pray here in just a moment. And as I pray, I trust if you are a Christian that you will pray that the Lord will burden your heart more than it's ever been burdened to give the gospel like you've never given it before. And just in case I am speaking to somebody who does not know for sure that heaven's their home, you didn't raise your hand to that either, maybe that's you, I want to challenge you right now to pray that God will make it real to your heart. And I'd also like to challenge you to read through the book of John. And if you do that, ask God to speak to your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So as I pray out loud, I hope you'll pray right there at your seat. Father God, we love you today and thank you for this presentation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what this message means. And I pray that, Lord, there's no doubt that there were those even here tonight that could not raise their hand knowing that heaven is their home. I pray that you'll break their heart. Help them to humble themselves before your hand and in your sight. And I pray that before it's eternally too late, that they will trust you as their Savior. Help them to know it's not something they do, it's just something they receive. It's a gift. It's your gift to us. And I pray that we who are saved, that you help us to be more burdened about the gospel than we've ever been. Help us, Lord Jesus, to pack our pockets full of gospel tracts, inviting people to church, but more importantly, inviting them to Christ. Our neighbors, our coworkers, those who are in school, classmates, teammates, whatever the case may be. Bless now. Bless this choir. Bless this drama team. Bless Brother Gary and how he directed it. Lord, you've used it in a great way. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to you. Encourage us now. And bless us as we have a Lord's Day tomorrow, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to say thank you for coming.
and those who had part in this, the choir and Brother Gary and the drama team, everybody, those behind the scenes, turning up the microphones, turning them down, turning the lights on, turning them off, all these kind of stuff. God bless you. They're going to be doing this same presentation tomorrow night at 6:30. And if you are a member of this church, if you have your own church home, then obviously we encourage you to go there, if it's preaching the Bible to you, that is, and so on. But we would encourage our own folks to invite somebody to come see this tomorrow night at 6:30. God bless you, folks. Love you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful night.